Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael here. We have an article that I meant to give on Monday, but we had this Sandy thing that came through and shut down power and did all kinds of crazy things here in the place in Maryland that we send this information to before it goes to the broadcasting area. So I'm going to be talking about something that came up in the news about the polling places and United Nations intervention. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing to have observers from the United Nations come to your town, come to somebody's home or wherever it is, school, whatever it is, any kind of building that you have where you have people come in and cast their votes? Is that what you need? Let's just read something. This was published by Politico on their website. The group hosting international election observers said Thursday that state officials in Iowa and Texas, they say, are needlessly blocking access to the decades-old process the United States already has agreed to, an official said Thursday. This goes to the question, this is my perspective here. What should the United Nations be doing? What should be allowed? Does the United Nations treaty or conventions, do they trump the Constitution of the United States? Do they have the police power reach into your state, into your neighborhood? Is it true? I wonder. Thomas Reimer, a spokesman for the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, said the group will abide by election laws after officials in those states warned about possible criminal prosecution if the observers came within hundreds of feet of the polling places. He says, we will, of course, comply. At the same time, the lack of access to polling stations for international observers in some states is not in line with the United States' international commitments, and we have noted this in past final reports issued by observation missions. Well, I just tell you from my perspective, I'm glad that Iowa and Texas has committed to holding international observers accountable to law, that they're not allowed to come and inspect polling places or observe or do anything. I mean, there's certain laws in the states. The state control their own elections. The United States doesn't control the elections. Those elections are controlled by the states that have their proper balance of power, their ambitions competing against ambitions, according to the Constitution of the United States. Say, well, how is that biblical? Biblically, men are depraved. They're corrupt, degenerate, vicious, corrupt, and degenerate. And so the frame of government was to separate powers as many ways as possible, as many ambitions competing against ambitions as possible. So in fact, this ambition of the states and the people of Iowa and Texas are competing against the ambitions of those participating in the program of what they call the United Nations. Back to this Politico article. The 2012 race is the sixth U.S. election for the OSCE, that's these election observers. Since 2002, access to voting precincts across the country has been largely dependent on the reaction of state and local officials. In Texas, for example, the Attorney General is the chief law enforcement authority, so if the state law is written as written and as the AG is going to enforce it says, the election observers can't go in, we will report that. They're nanny, nanny, whatever, right? They're putting in a report. On Tuesday, Iowa followed Texas moved and warned of arrest if observers violate state election law by coming within 300 feet of polling places. My office met with two delegation representatives last week to discuss Iowa's election process, and it was explained to them that they are not permitted at the polls. Iowa's Secretary of State Matt Schultz said in a statement, Iowa law is very specific about who is permitted at polling places, and there is no exception for members of this group. According to its report, after 2008 general election, OSCE election observers were turned away from polling stations in, now listen to this list, Alabama, Arizona, Florida, Georgia, Ohio, Texas. Their poll watchers also had difficulties in counties in Colorado, Louisiana, Pennsylvania, and Virginia, the report said. It's a pretty simple answer. The U.S., as a, now this is their complaint here, the OSCE. It is a pretty simple answer. The U.S., as a participating state and founding member of the OSCE, has made certain commitments to allow international observers. That said, our observers aren't there to interfere. So they're complaining that the United or states within the United States, or members participants of the United States, are not allowing United Nations to come play. I wonder what you think. The number here is 248-2046. 248-2046. Should the United Nations observers be allowed to participate to observe? Should they be not allowed? Should they be prohibited? Should states be forced to allow them to participate? That's the question. Toll free, 888-248-2046. So that's what's in the news. That's one of the election items I wanted to talk about a few days ago. Something else that came into my news purview here today, I'll bring up, because we talked about this a few days ago. I was kind of, almost in a mocking way, talking about somebody who was complaining. I was watching a YouTube video where a guy was showing a city worker, some, I don't know what organization they were from, but they were trying to come on his property and inspect it. And he was taking a video of sheriff, it had some kind of title of the sheriff helping some kind of agent violate the law and trespass on his property. And what I said was, she was not committing a trespass. Trespass is a common law offense. It is, but there's a requirement that you stake a claim on your property. In fact, that you take possession of that property, that you fence it in, or you do something, use some due diligence to protect a zone that you prohibit people physically from entering. Otherwise, you've abandoned that property to public use as an open easement to anybody who might come by. They could come on that property, and if there's a fallen tree, they could take that tree and use it for firewood. They could let their cattle graze across your front yard. There's all kinds of things they could do if you have not, I said, if you've not taken positive control over your property. Check out this. This just came out today. This is a court okays warrantless use of hidden surveillance cameras. Now, I'm not crazy, but I'm actually opposed to surveillance cameras, you know, generally, because it's not fair. There's reasons. There's chivalrous reasons why everybody needs an even chance. And also that the government is really not there to be everybody's ultimate judge. So, I mean, we could have a discussion over surveillance cameras from a biblical, again, constitutional basis, biblical basis, basis right versus wrong. In the latest case to test how technological developments alter Americans' privacy, federal court, now this privacy was not the issue with the Fourth Amendment. It's property right. Federal court sides with Justice Department on police use of concealed surveillance cameras on private property. Police are allowed in some circumstances to install hidden surveillance cameras on private property without obtaining a search warrant, a federal judge said yesterday. CNET has learned that U.S. District Judge William Griesbach ruled that it was reasonable for Drug Enforcement Administration agents to enter rural property without permission and without a warrant to install multiple covert digital surveillance cameras in hopes of uncovering evidence that 30 to 40 marijuana plants were being grown. That means, folks, that anybody could enter that rural property with little surveillance cameras. It's true. You can walk across it. Again, let your cattle graze. Let's see what it goes on to say. Two defendants in the case, Manuel Mendoza and Marco Magana of Green Bay, Wisconsin, have been charged with federal drug crimes after DEA agent Stephen Coran claimed to have discovered more than 1,000 marijuana plants grown on the property and face possible life imprisonment, fines up to $10 million. Mendoza and Magana asked Callahan to throw out the video evidence on Fourth Amendment grounds, noting that, listen to this, no trespassing signs. Is it like a virtual barrier? If you put up a no trespassing sign, it's sort of like a virtual wall. It's a virtual staking claim to your property. Actually, folks, it's not. everybody knows that no trespassing is the rule of law. You don't need a sign. It's a no-brainer. Noting that no trespassing signs were posted throughout the heavily wooded 22-acre property owned by Magana, and said that it also had a locked gate. Ah, now that's interesting. It has a locked gate. Does that mean there's a fence? It doesn't say whether there's a fence or not. So I would say, I would like to read this case, but I would say that once you have a fenced property, I wouldn't see any problem putting up some surveillance cameras that look into the property. But I don't know. It depends. They said it had a locked gate. Well, see, now you are talking about a trespass, because if it's something where they have secured the grounds and taken, you know, positive action, and you're saying, well, they're doing something unlawful. Well, there's other ways to take care of that. The purpose of government is to not trample on marijuana distributors or marijuana growers. That is not the purpose of government. Whether we think they're knuckleheads or not, these marijuana growers. Now, we could surround the place and then have, you could get a search warrant, go in and take care of it. You could do it. Ah, but they got bigger goals. So they're not really concerned, folks, about private property rights of you. And that's very tough. For those of us who would love to have the bad guys get in trouble, we have to stop and remember the authority structure that is there to protect you from some nut who hates Christians. Let's say you're a Christian. I'm telling you what, in a few years, somebody's going to feel the freedom for some moral imperative to ignore the law. See, the government is a function of law. It is a machine of law. If it is not abiding by law, it is not acting as government. It is actually something other. It is an antichrist, anti-God machine, if it is not reigning itself according to law. Do you realize that it's appointed for man once to die, then the judgment? Nobody gets away with anything. Even, I mean, now, whether they are forgiven eternally, that's out of our hands too. So if government is instituted to protect life, liberty, and property, those are its compelling interests. It has an interest, now this seems really extreme, but it has an interest in protecting your property by not violating the law and exceeding the boundaries of law with regard to Mr. Mendoza and Mr. Magana. Bless their hearts, knuckleheads though they are, you know, and just dope and smoke, it's not going to be good for their chromosomes or their brain or anything. It's ultimately a harmful thing. But that's not the compelling interest of government. And, you know, for purposes of safety, there's other things you've been permitted to do, government, that is to give a warrant and go in and confiscate the contraband. Cite them for crimes. But don't do it without the lawful warrant that the Constitution has fettered you with, the chains of the Constitution. That's what the people have done. So we've got to be extreme here, guys, on a constitutional basis, biblical basis, basis right versus wrong. David Allen Carmichael, Faith and Freedom. Find out more at PreservativeTalkRadio.com.